Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Joseph Lamb. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Steve, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is KXTS and LE Migration and Diagnostic Enhancements. Today's presenter is Paul Albridge. Paul is a Customer Information Control System TS Level 2 representative located at the Research Triangle Park in NC. Paul joined the KIX technical support team in 1988 and in his support role has worked extensively with the KIX and Language Environment Interface. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Paul.
Hello, my name is Paul Albrecht and welcome to the KIX TS and LE Migration and Diagnostic Enhancement Seminar. Marty Gibbs originally developed this presentation, so if there are any mistakes, they were made by me and not her. Also, the presentation will have a series of notes. These are for your reference, and I will not be covering them, but I included the notes basically for your reference, and there'll be some note pages on the back, too. Okay, Joseph, can we go to slide two? Okay, we're going to be covering the basics of some translator news, reviewing some runtime options, looking at LE and storage, admin handling, some of the newer functions and changes that have been introduced in the past few releases, and dump and trace enhancements. May we go to slide three? For terminology, the basics, think of a LE process as a KIX transaction, basically. An enclave is the same as a COBOL run unit or C++ program. I like thinking of the enclave as the CICS person. It's a program, basically. Could we slide to four, please? Basically, there were big differences between LE and COBOL. And the VS COBOL 2, the storage and runtime options are managed at a transaction level. Now, with LE, it's managed at an enclave level, or basically at the program level. You're going to see if you're moving to LE or if you have moved, you have seen probably more getmain and freemain activity on links and xkettles. LE runtime options weren't inherited by nested enclaves or nested programs. Some of you may even decided to, rather than going with an execcics link, to make internal COBOL calls. Could we go to slide five, please? For translator options, we reintroduced the COBOL 2 option. I know we said we were going to take it away, but we reintroduced it for and made it the default. COBOL 2 instructs the translator to expand almost like the COBOL 3 translator option, but we're going to bring back some temporary variables for migration purposes. What we've been finding is that some programs actually had EBCDIC links defined in the execcics commands. With COBOL 3, they would not be automatically converted to binary. By introducing the temporary variables again, it was more forgiving for the COBOL programmers. These EBCDIC values would be converted to binary through the compiler's usage of the temporary variables, and the problem became transparent. So hence, we reintroduced it basically for migration purposes. So we go to FOIL 6. COBOL 3 translator options will allow basically for enterprise COBOL. It'll allow lower and mixed case input for translator options and execcics commands. It's a lot more friendlier with compiler directives. And we will not translate or uppercase translate file names and transactions. If you're going to use mixed case, make sure your names are going to match your external definitions. The last bullet on this FOIL is make sure all your copybooks are pre-translated with the COBOL 3 option if you are not using the integrated translator. FOIL 7, please. More translator options. Main, initially for C and C++ programs. What we did was basically the translator inserted the DFH EIP TR pointer in the translated program, and it implies that the source contains a main function in C, and main is the default. Then there was no main, and this is where the EIP pointer was an external attribute and implies that source does not contain a main function. Why did we do this? We wanted to bring in assembler into the LE environment, but assembler uses register save areas instead of dynamic storage areas, and they had to piggyback on the C or the C program's main environment, i.e., it used dynamic storage areas or DSAs rather than register save areas. And it had to be translated or set to no main. Slide 8, please. In CICS TS 3.1, we introduced another translator parameter called LESM, and this is going back to the main and no main. Well, what we did, we introduced this translator option to generate LE dynamic storage areas for assembler main programs. The EASTage, EIENT, EIRET, EIEND macros expanded out differently, and again, to generate DSAs rather than the old register save areas. What this does is it allows these assembler programs to actually make direct LE calls, say for time, getting the time from LE, or other LE type application calls. And it's pretty well documented in the application programming guide, the CICS-TS application programming guide. Okay, can we go to FOIL 9? CICS and COBOL got together and came up with a integrated translator. We had a problem with old copy books that probably many of you have encountered where you moved up to a new release of COBOL and your copy books were pre-translated and they would not compile properly. The integrated translator, providing that you have the source of the copy books, eliminates this. It eliminated the separate translation step, eliminated pre-translated copy books, but to use the integrated translator, you do need to use the DFH ELII stub, and you've got to specify KIX, LIB, no dynam, RENT, and no analyze on the compile options. Here's a sample of the specifying the translator options for COBOL and PL1, and for the DB2 coprocessor for SQL statements, it'll require DB2 version 7, and it produces the DBRM. Okay, FOIL 10, please. If you use the integrated translator, you need to be at KIX 2.2 or later. Basically, I'm assuming that everyone now is pretty much at Enterprise COBOL for any new development. It's a good compiler. I recommend it. And again, for PL1, I'm saying that most people are at the Enterprise PL1 compilers. These are the list of the compilers that are supported by the integrated translator. FOIL 11, please. Here's a table of the CICS supplied procedures. They'll be in the proclib, or SDFH proclib, and go ahead and use them, or use them as samples to build your own procedures. FOIL 12, please. Moving on to LE runtime options, it's a little confusing here, but there is a CEED OPT CSECT that specifies the runtime options. You've got two members in SCSAMP that'll hold this DOPT CSECT. There's CEEC OPT, that's for the CICS, and when you generate this CEOPT member, it actually gets linked into the CEEC KIX main routing module. The storage options are optimized for KIX use. With all 31 on, your heap and stack values are defaulting to relatively good values. Then we have the batch version, and that is called CEED OPT member in the SCSAMP lib, and the heap and stacks are really large. If you mix the two members up and use the CEED OPT member with KIX, you will probably see short on storages popping up, especially if you have anything going on below the line. It'll drive your system short on storage, and you'll see a high CPU increase. So again, don't mix these up. Use the CEEC OPT member, and things will run a whole lot smoother. Can we go to slide 13? They specifying runtime options. Now, the Java programs and CICS IOP services are going to be using the PIPI interface into the language environment. And that's more like a batch environment, but KIX is going to control this internally, so you don't really have to worry too much about it. Normal KIX tasks that basically started from a terminal, we have global runtime options, which will be in the CEEC OPT member. Link at it in the CEC KIX. Then we have another option for you, region-wide options, which I really, really like, the CEER OPT member. And then there's by program, which I'm not going to really recommend, but I'm going to cover it briefly. It's a UOPT member that you've got to link at it into single programs, actually, to control the runtime options for that specific program, enclave, run unit, whatever. it is not all that convenient. Can we go to FOIL 14, please? The region options, CEEROPT, got some LEs, supplied some JCL in SkiSamp Live. You copy the CEECOPT member from SkiSamp into the ROPT. Change the CSEC name and labels from DOPT to ROPT. Change the options on the XOPT macro. Specify only the options you want to be different from the defaults. Assemble and link edit this member. Doesn't have to be translated, just assemble and link edit it into your own RPL library, like a program library or whatever you decide, and put it in and have it in the RPL concatenation, not in the step lib. Does not need to be authorized, and the last thing you'll need to do is define the CEEROPT member with theta in a group, perhaps the CEE group. It'll be assembler. What this allows you to do is control the runtime options per region. Benefits. If you have several regions and each region you wanted different runtime options in it, you can use the CEEROPT to control it. You do not have to make copies of the CEECOPT member and generate various copies of the CKICs and have it spread out across all these regions, where you can have this one CEEROPT member controlling it, and it makes life a whole lot easier. Can we go to FOIL 15? The UOPT, again, it's built in SkiSamp. We have some LE supply, some JCL there also, and you'll have to modify the UOPT. Again, you include the options that you want changed, and you run the CEW UOPT assemble to assemble and link edit the UOPT member. And basically, after you do that, and you specify what you've link edited into the programs of your choice, you've got to remember what UOPT you had. You've got to remember what programs are using it. And then when you change releases of ZOS and go up to a new release of LE, chances are you're going to have to do it all over again because the runtime options may have changed and new ones being added. So the UOPT member would not be picked up properly. So I really don't recommend this. Slide 16, please. LE introduced a clear transaction a few releases back. This is great. I love this. From a terminal, you can type in the clear transaction, and you can take a look at your current global runtimes in that particular region. And there are several options that you can actually control. Trap, trap on, trap off, report ops, report storage, all 31, COBOL push pop, and term thread act. It's pretty neat, but I have seen problems with report ops and report storage where somebody would turn them on in a production environment, and for every program that runs, they'll start producing storage report or options reports out to the CISA queue when they do a return at the end of the run unit. Well, the CPU utilization goes right through the roof on that in production. So those are two options I would be very, very careful with in production. Hey, could we go to FOIL 17? Of the dynamic runtime options, you can display them with the clear transaction, all 31, COBOL push pop, term thread act, etc. Okay, FOIL 18, please. Here's some important runtime options that I recommend looking at each release of ZOS. The COBOL push pop. If you have it on, it'll incur a little bit more CPU, but what it'll do is it'll push handles and pop handles on called COBOL programs. Now, if you have a program that's calling another program and that sub-program is issuing out handles, I strongly, strongly recommend CBL push pop on. If your sub-programs do not establish any conditions or handles, then you probably will be able to get away with it off. Storage, defaulting to none, 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 0K. I'm recommending the first none to be 00 for COBOL. I'll be getting in more into this a little later. The second parameter of none is fine. That's what the storage will be initialized to when LE frees it up. So you don't have to specify anything there. And the third parameter of none is for PL1. And it will add a little bit overhead if you have 00 there. If you have PL1 and C, consider it. If these programs are not maintaining their own areas or initializing their own areas, then strongly consider turning the none to 00. The last one's 0K. We'll be getting into that a little bit later on another FOIL. Term Threat Act is defaulting to trace. We'll be getting more into that in another FOIL. I'm recommending message or quiet. I like messages, though. And I'll talk more about this in a few minutes. FOIL 19, please. Ellie and storage. What's been happening over the releases is Ellie and Kix basically just use more storage. Basically, there's more storage for stacks, heaps, and what's been happening, basically, just like in Kix, from release to release, Ellie has more control blocks. They're larger. The load modules are larger. And you'll be finding that you'll find that your COBOL programs will also grow after compilation. Here's the same program that's been compiled from VS COBOL 2, and you can see how the size grows when you start using LE, then LE with COBOL 3 translator option, and then with the integrated translator. And it looks like we are sacrificing storage for performance, primarily just to offer more function, and we're doing our best to keep CPU utilization down. FOIL 20, please. Stack storage primarily is used for LE, dynamic storage areas. And it's allocated at run unit initialization when the program is first called. Heap storage is mostly used for COBOL working storage and PL1 controlled and based variables, basically where all the declarations are going to be. And stack storage is for dynamic storage areas, stacking environment. Heap storage is where the program declarations will be. We move on to FOIL 21, please. We have a thread work area. There's be one per task. It's going to include several LE control blocks, like the CA, the PICD, and the PCB. And it's not related to any runtime options. This is what LE and the specific language the program is written in. He'll work out this length and send it back to Kix, and we'll do the get main for it. It's called an LE thread work area. Then we have the LE run unit work area, and this is at the program level, and it includes your stacks, the heaps, EICBs, and you can use the run unit work area pool equal yes sit parameter to improve performance with the run unit work areas. FOIL 22, please. Here's a list of LE runtime options that are recommended. All 31 on, any heap below heaps. I'm recommending report ops and report storage is off. I'm finding that these values are working in most cases. Feel free to go ahead and review them and evaluate and optimize for use by your own applications. FOIL 23, please. Specifying storage requirements. They're defined by the global CEEC op member, the region opt member, or again by the UOPT, which can be invoked with, say, PragmaC and the PLIX opt. Got to run the report storage to actually determine specific run unit or specific program requirements. When the programs change, you're going to have to run the report storage option again, and dynamically called programs are going to affect the enclave storage. Storage tuning is going to be difficult to manage. We find that there's a need for dynamic storage for stacks and heap for LE. Basically, the goal is to minimize the get mains and free mains within Kix for stack and heap utilization. And we also need to remove the burden from the application programmers to find out how much storage your applications are using and how much they really need. We go to FOIL 24, please. Ellie introduced a tuning exit. This tuning exit can collect storage information without having report storage on. And it can dynamically set the stack, live stack, heap, any heap, low heap runtime options for selected programs, and there's a sample exit provided. And CICS, on the other hand, have introduced a few releases back the dynamic storage tuning autodist SID parameter. We go to FOIL 25, please. On the storage tuning exit, the sample exit is CEECSTX and is provided in SkiSamp. You can collect tuning data or provide storage tuning values. Now, in collection mode, when you're running this exit, it's going to be collecting information used by Enclave. It's going to be tracking stack, live stack, and heap. Collect them as incremental areas, or the initial, the incrementals, the max used, and segments acquired and segments freed. Now, segments acquired and segments freed, I think that's going to be controlled pretty much at the KIX level, or and say it as in a single get main, single free main with the rest of the storage blocks for heap and stack, because they'll all be joined together. I don't think the numbers here are really going to start showing up, and that's, again, just for segments acquired and freed. You know, running in collection mode has serious performance impacts. In tuning mode, LE is still going to read a vSAM file containing values to be used for these specific programs. Even in tuning mode, there's going to be an overhead hit. If you're going to use this exit, it's not going to be as hard-hitting as the report or the storage reports or the storage ops report in LE, but it still will degrade performance. And if you flip to a tuning mode, LE is still going to be needing to read a vSAM file, and you can provide 50 programs for it. But since LE will be reviewing or be reading the vSAM file, there will be a performance hit there too. Also, you can't run with Storage Protect set to yes. So the storage tuning in LE is difficult. Can we go to coil 26? On the CICS side, we have autodist equal yes. It's a sit par. I think of it as a like a high-level watermark of how much storage the programs use. Programs with the UOPT, basically with their own customized runtime options. These are not going to be tuned by autodist. They're in absolute control. We keep track of the high watermark of each program, and we record it. The good news is overhead is minimal, and it can result in a performance improvement. The disadvantages are I would recommend autodist for well-behaved, stable systems. Here's why. The autodist information or the collection information that we collect the high watermarks for each individual program resides in key 9 storage. In the past, I have seen these areas get overlaid and drive a CICS region short on storage, especially if it's an EBCDIC overlay. We'll pick up this EBCDIC value and store it off as a high watermark. The next time the program is called, that EBCDIC value will be used as part of the get main. And things will go wrong then at that point, SOSs. So, again, I'd only recommend autodist in well-behaved, stable systems. We go to foil 27, please. All 31 off, avoid it. What's going to happen is you're going to start using more DSA or UDSA below the line. You're going to have extra get mains and free mains. It's no longer required by OSDS COBOL. Actually, LE is now smart enough. Take a look at a program and say, oh, it's above the line or it's below the line. If it's above the line, they'll only do get mains above the line. If it's below the line, they'll automatically request storage for the application below the line, and they'll request storage above the line for their control blocks or for some of their control blocks. I recommend all 31 on. I've tested it. I've had other customers test it. It works. It frees up a lot of storage below the line. Coil 28, please. So for storage tuning, review your CEEC OPT member. Consider autodist. Consider the option, please, especially if your regions are well-behaved or the applications are well-behaved. Consider runtime options by region, the CEER OPT member. If you're going to run with report storage on, do it in test. Run it on a sampling of transactions. And tune towards the high end of requirements to basically reduce the number of get mains. And use that CEEU OPT member only if necessary, because it's a lot of work. Coil 29, please. And revisit the storage runtime options. Again, the first parameter on the storage is 00. It's the initial image for working storage, or i.e. heap storage for COBOL. The second, we have a second parameter, I always recommend none. Third parameter, 00, only if your C and PL1 programs do not clear out their variables. The last parameter, always 0K. It's a reserve size for out-of-storage conditions, not for kicks. For LE, but if you specify 4K or 8K there, LE is going to request it, CICS will get main it, and no one will use it. So recommend 0K. Coil 30, please. Term Thread Act. Here's another hard hitter, especially when you encounter conditions or program checks, other errors within applications. Term Third Act is defaulting to trace. Again, I recommend message or quiet. Basically, Term Third Act offers LE information. LE information going primarily to the CISA queue. Quiet says no messages are going to arrive at LE. Message indicates just messages, one or two writes. Trace means you're going to see traceback showing up on the CISA queue, one line at a time, i.e., LE will write out to the CISA transient data queue its traceback one line at a time. You will see a lot of execcics write transient data activity in the Kix trace to the point where your trace may wrap, depending on how big the run unit is. Can we go to FOIL 31, please? Term Thread Act dump will supply messages, the traceback information, an LE dump, and a runtime options report. UA dump is going to report the message, this traceback, your LE dump, your runtime options, and on top of that, it's going to throw out a 4039 a CICS transaction dump. That's even more overhead when a program gets into trouble. Can we go to FOIL 32, please? UA only will give you a transaction dump. Although all the LE control blocks will be in that transaction dump, they're not necessarily formatted out and it is difficult to go run through, and we just haven't had all that much luck with it. And I want to talk about alternatives in a few FOILs from now. UA trace gives you the message, trace back, the runtime options, and the 4039 transaction dump. UA IMM immediately requests a dump, and it's done prior to condition management processing by LE, and it's for software raise conditions or signals, along with the 4039 transaction dump. FOIL 33, you can direct the Term Thread Act output to the CISA transient data queue or to a CICS transaction dump. LE also introduced the reg store amount. It's going to basically, this controls the amount of storage dumped around each register for your LE dumps. It's defaulting to 96 bytes. Again, trace is the Kix default. Trace, dump, UA trace, going to cause lots of writes, and it's going to hurt performance. And again, LE messages I'm finding are quite helpful. So that's why I recommend Term Thread Act message, personally. If you have application folks who love LE dumps, then go ahead and use the dump or trace options. But if they don't look at LE dumps, again, run with message. FOIL 34, please. Condition handling. If Kix has a handle abend active, LE condition handling will not get control. The Kix handle abend will have the, how can I put it? It'll have the hammer. Action specified by the handle event will be taken. User-written condition handlers and registered to LE will not gain control. If there is no handle event active, LE handling will get control if trapped on, as specified in the runtime options. Normal LE condition handling is performed, and the handle condition and handle aids are not affected by LE condition handling because they're specifically internal to Kix as opposed to software raised errors. FOIL 35, please. CBL push-pop. Again, if you have COBOL programs calling COBOL sub-programs, and these COBOL sub-programs are setting up their own handle events for handle conditions, I strongly recommend CBL push-pop of on. If these sub-programs are not handling or not setting up handles, then you may be able to get away with CBL push-pop of off. Please remember that the subprogram called will inherit the handle event or the handle conditions of the parent program, and if things go wrong at the subprogram level, the handle at the above program or the parent program will gain control. Worst case scenario I've seen with this is out of block go-to events issued by COBOL. FOIL 36, please. A few releases back, LE began to isolate their control blocks. They put their region control blocks in CICS key storage away from the application. And these will be pretty much protected from applications when storage protection is turned on. And these are the global control blocks. These are where LE keeps its vector tables. These are the type of control blocks, if they get overlaid, CICS will have to be recycled. So again, LE is isolating those major ones. LE and CICS are developing new methods for accessing KIC services, and we have services being introduced for trace and dump, get main and free main, and subpool management, which will be future enhancements. 1237, please. The dump and trace enhancements, runtime options report added to the CEE dump. We have new feedback codes for the 4083 events, control of the amount of storage that was dumped around each register for CEE dumps, and the sub-option of Term Threat Act. 1238, please. Dump and trace enhancements. LE will format the LE stack areas via the KIC's verb exit. As this is introduced by CICS, we have a new APS keyword. It is neat. Here's an example of it, the verb exit, DFH PD 630 APS equal, and just have your task ID. In this case, it'll be 00031. It invokes the LE verb exit, CEERRIP, and it'll format out the LE control area, or LE CAA anchor, PCB, the member list, all the LE control blocks, along with all the transaction storage from the CICS side. I recommend using this so you can see what's going on in KICS and what's going on in LE all at one time. Foil 39, please. Dump and trace enhancements. We've introduced a mechanism for LE to add diagnostic information to the KIC 6, the KIC system dump. This is a good alternative from writing out to the CISA queue. When I said for Term Threat Act of message, LE and KICS can get the same information out of a system dump as we can out of the CISA queue, the dumps that end up there from LE. There's a DFH LE DTM macro, and that was introduced. Foil 40, please. From the CICS side, we've extended the AP trace points, the 1948, 1949, to include the register save area. And we've introduced some internal blocks like DFH program info 2 and storage tuning areas. 41, please. We extended the EISR trace points to include register save area contents, as you can see in blocks 5 and 6. Or the address of the register save area in data area 5 and its contents in area 6. Foil 42, please. And we added trace components to CETR. They're primarily used for LE purposes, but if you have AP tracing set to 1-2, LE will also be adding trace points out. And again, they're mostly for LE internal diagnostics. Foil 43, please. LE has a IPCS verb exit. Here are some of the options that can be used with it. Foil 44, please. Here's how to get the LE CAA anchor from a CICS verb exit request. So if you typed in, say, in this case, verb exit DFH PD 630, find your transaction that you need to be in, that you want or that you want to look at. In this case, it will be UPDT transaction 40. You can type find TCA.00040, and at offset 94 in the system TCA will be the CAA address. Now you have enough information to invoke the LE data or CE's, the ski verb exit for LE. Please note the APS dump format option will give you all this automatically. Well, 45, please. If you didn't want to use the APS, and didn't want to mix the CICS control blocks or transaction control blocks with the LE control blocks, the LE data IPCS verb exit is the way to go. Now, I showed you how to get to the TCA and showed you how to get to the CAA anchor. Well, right here on this foil at the top, verb exit, LE data with the CAA address, and I like the option of all, will give you the LE dump. Again, this is the same types of dumps that you see out in the CISA queue, but you get it at you can pull it out of the system dump. This is good stuff, along with the APS option. 46, please. The LE data, or ski rip, IPCS verb exit, will also give you the runtimes that are currently in effect. Here's a sample. 47, please. For references, I'd recommend the Enterprise COBOL compiler and runtime migration guides, and just basically, the following books at your particular ZOS level. 48, please. For performance maximization, I recommend run unit work area pool set to yes. Consider autodist in stable, well-behaved regions. review your use of CVL push pop on the LE runtime option. Consider term threat act, and do you really need all the information? It may be redundant if you're getting system dumps. If you're getting a dump through term threat act rather than just issuing message, again, do you really need it? Verify your runtime options. You can use the global options of CEE-COPT, or, again, what I recommend at the region level is CEE-ROPT to avoid additional copies of the CEC KIX member. 49, please. We've got basically additional product resources here. We supply some links. The Developer Works link here offers in-depth technical information. Our events link on support pages points you to webcast and conference information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules, or basically online education to get new users ramped up quickly. And the ESR tool, basically used by Passport Advantage clients, will allow you to update and view problem records online. And my support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products you want to keep up with. Next foil, please. I'll move on to questions and answers.
At this point, Steve, we would like to open the line for questions.
We'll go first. Mike Giaquinto.
Hi, Paul. Mike Giaquinto. I know we spoke before and on probably some problems, but thank you for this presentation. I'm from a very large shop. We have hundreds of regions and thousands of programs, and a lot of what you say here for tuning is great and sounds easy when you're working with a few programs, small applications, but to try to take it to a larger scale, it becomes much more difficult. So I'm looking for ways to automate the ferret out system information, how much storage you use by program, et cetera. And I'm wondering how much can be done. I know you said that the CEE-SDX exit was a lot of overhead. So if we were to use that, I have questions on that in a large shop. Is the overhead something we can work on? If it's a sample, we can take it in ourselves and maybe get rid of the DSAM stuff, make it data tables or SS tables or whatever. But is the overhead in with the way that it's doing things, or how can we diminish the overhead with that? And one more question on that. Is it called only an enclave creation, or is it called as each program is invoked?
It'll be called as each program is invoked, and I don't know of anyone who has turned that vSAM file into a data table. That would help, but yet there's still going to be that file control call made from LE. And that's at the tuning level. That's at the tuning level where you can have 50 programs specified with their own specific storage options or storage size, say, for example, storage sizes. It's a step up from the CEE-UOPT method. And the collection process also will be a step up from running the report storage option, but still will cause overhead. Marty was recommending if you can get a sampling in test and run either the exit or the storage ops parameter in the LE runtime environment, that would be, again, in test would be the best route. Most of the time what I'm seeing are the defaults, the 4080 type defaults. They usually do suffice in most cases. If you have some exceptions, then I guess that's where the UOP can come in. Again, I don't recommend it.
Right. Yeah, we're looking. I'm hoping that we can do some of this in production. It's difficult sometimes in test if you're trying to tune and you see that you want to tune a certain place to get an application to test their whole application is what would have to happen. There are so many different ones, and they're only doing certain aspects of testing, this program or that program, and not a whole application at a time. So I'm looking for something we just run on in production for a little bit, collect the data, tell us what to do, and then turn it off. Hey, thanks, Paul. I don't have any. I have more questions, but I'll go on hold and let somebody else talk, and I'll come back later.
We'll go next to Paul Masters.
I have two questions. Early on in the slides, it seems to indicate that you're not that call is instead of link.
Oh, yes, okay.
Well, in the past, CICS has said don't use call. I realize that it's less resource usage, but has that been changed now? The call is now, as it were, acceptable?
I've got a smile on my face. There are two views on that. Being a level two rep, what the call will do is reduce CPU utilization. You won't have to go through any CICS code, especially for a static call without with no CBL push-pop. You don't have to go through any KIX code. So, of course, the CPU path gets cut dramatically on it. Diagnostic-wise, COBOL does not really let you know what program is being called. It's more of a introducing a batch environment, which is in CICS, which is harder to debug. So from a level two perspective in diagnostics, the call is more difficult to diagnose or to even see what was going on in a KIX trace. If a call is static, all you'll see is CBL or the push and pops if you have CBL push pop on. If the call is dynamic, you will see LE issuing out a load request for the dynamically called module. Again, even COBOL has to prepare for the call, and if it's a link, CICS will have to prepare for it. I think the CICS path will be longer than the COBOL and LE path. So you have, it's a trade-off, either diagnostic-wise or performance-wise.
Okay, it sounds like then basically nothing has changed. You know, CICS recommends link, but calls are faster.
Yes.
And the other question is on the all-31 off, you mentioned that he can figure out whether it's above or below the line.
Oh, that's LE, yes.
LE. At one time or in the past, it was that that works for only the first program.
That was in the past.
So, okay, so today if you link to, if you start with above-the-line program but call or link to a below-the-line, it'll take care of it?
Yes. Now, that when you go to that below-the-line program, there'll be two types of get mains from the LE or on behalf of LE. One will be below the line for the application areas, and one will be above the line for the LE, whatever areas LE can get above the line.
Okay, but that used to be a problem that if you had that condition and you had all 31 on, then you would fail because it would not handle the below the line secondary or third area program.
Okay, that was in the past.
Okay, thank you. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
We'll go back to Mike Quinto.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Mike.
Paul Mass is reminding me of a question along the lines of that exit. You had said that it's called on every program. Does that include programs that are statically called or even dynamically called? And the reason I'm asking is that we also have that problem with visibility, and you're trying to look at a trace, and all you see is a push and a pop, and you don't know what was being called. Is it possible to take on that exit, take out all of maybe the tuning options that are in there, and just use it to know what was called, and maybe even write out a user trace that we can see all of a sudden what program is being called?
I'm thinking here, it's on the collection process, you'd have to be at the absolute end of the run unit. Statically called programs won't go through run unit invocation. Dynamically called, yes, we'll go through run unit. I am not all that familiar with the exit, but I think it's going to be limited to a degree. It will be able to collect high watermarks and storage utilization by the run unit or by the program, and anything statically within that program will be still considered as part of the main program. It's an option you can look into. You might be able to get away with using it in production if it's going to be used in a limited sense. Mike, I've seen customers turn on the report ops and report storage in production and not be able to get back in to turn it off.
I can believe that.
So this could very well be a viable alternative. And if things start going awry with LE, and I believe it's going to be the CISA queue is becomes very, very busy. I've had some customers actually were able to go in and disable the queue and get their systems back in manageable order by disabling the CISA queue.
Right, yeah. For those transient data writes, probably using the QRTCD, it's going to tie up the TSDS doing the I/O. I can see that causing a problem.
Extremely, yes. In some cases.
Is this the same exit that you would use with AutoDSC? You had mentioned that you would use AutoDSC with well-behaved applications because of the storage key. However, also we've had a concern that an application that may use and have a high, sporadic high watermark that would deviate significantly from its norm would all of a sudden cause every get main to be at that higher level.
That's true.
Would this be the same exit you would use to perhaps put a throttle on the storage high watermark that AutoDSC is using?
They're two separate entities. On that LE exit, you can collect data and you can also tune with it. And it's you have a bit more control than with Autodisk. Where Autodisk only just, from the CICS perspective, we will keep a high watermark of what the but that specific Enclave running program uses, and we'll hold to that high watermark. And again, the in both cases, it's to reduce the number of get mains by getting the largest piece of storage that the program will probably or possibly use. And there's two different ways of going about doing it. But again, I've got to put this out on the table that the Autodisk, what I've seen in the past and what we have seen in the past at level two, is these areas are exposed to overlays. And those overlays will be propagated into our control blocks, and those storage values are going to be used on the next time that program's called. So there is some danger in that.
Right. Thank you, Paul.
Okay.
We'll go next to Richard Szabo.
Hi there, Paul. Paul, this is Rich Szabo from State Auto Insurance. Appreciate your presentation today. And I wanted to ask you a follow-up question on the auto DST. I thought you mentioned during the presentation that with the DST there was a way to get a report of the activity for DST. Where is that report available, and how can I produce it?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was on the LE exit.
Okay.
The Autodisk is more an internal function within CICS. Pick that up would be either out of statistics or monitoring data to get something equivalent. But the actual LE storage exit routine will give a report.
The LE storage exit routine?
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll go to Barry Clements.
Hey, Paul. Barry Clements of HSBC. I had talked to you, I believe, in the latter part of last year about what LE's doing in the handlers that get loaded by CICS auto install. And you had mentioned something about changes that are forthcoming, I believe, at the time, about everything getting auto-installed available, whether it's CICS-related or not, and that there are some storage implications. And I don't know if you covered that at all. So we got into which each of the handlers were doing what.
Oh, yes, Barry, I remember.
Yeah, and there was something about possibly that LE was going to set these programs to not be auto-installed, or there's something going on with KIX to avoid storage consumption. Has anything been published about that?
I believe we have some technical or tech notes or tech docs
okay. On
that. But, yes, in our current releases, we do not program auto-install the LE definitions.
Okay.
And thank you for bringing this up, Barry. The CEE group that is supplied with in the LE sample guide does need to be defined in the CSD, in the CICS CSD at the newer releases, because CICS, not LE, but CICS has moved the LE initialization process outside of the auto install window. What that means is if you do not have the CEE group defined already in KIX and that group installed at startup, LE will not come up. We will not be able, when we go out and look for these LE modules, we will not find definitions and will return not founds. The reason for this was there were, I believe, 17 event handlers registered with language environment. We only used a handful of them, but all 17 definitions would be auto-installed and that storage would be used. We've had some complaints come in on that, on storage utilization, so Hursley Development decided to move the initialization, the LE initialization, outside of the program auto-install window and made it more efficient storage-wise and CPU-wise at initialization, but it also took away the forgiveness of not having the CEE group defined in the CICS CSD.
Mm.
But thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate that. Do we know when we'll start seeing that effect immediately, 3.2?
2.3.
Or actually 2.3, okay.
We introduced that.
Okay. Great, thanks.
We'll go to Paul Masters.
I'll
follow-on to that, I've heard that some of the programs have to be there at startup and others can be installed as needed. Is there some part that, if that's still the case, is there some part that there's a list of what has to be there as opposed to all the other routines that can be auto-installed?
Paul, I would recommend having the CEE group in your CSD and installed at startup time in the group, installed in the group list.
Well, the reason I mention that is because, like at least at this site, we don't use C, and C is probably the biggest number of entries that are there, and we don't use PL1 either, I don't believe. And so I don't want to go through and say, well, let's take all these out, and every time we have to upgrade it, you know, remember to take them out, because then if someone starts using it, then we got to put it back in. And other sites have talked about that as far as the size or the storage usage of here's all this stuff, and a lot of them you don't use.
Okay.
You know, I know there's a core set that has to be there, but if the others can be auto-installed, there's like a way to know which ones we have to specify and which ones we don't.
Okay. There's no list that I'm aware of. In the past, it was mentioned that you can take this CEC CSD member, make a copy of it. If you're not using PL1, you go down to the comments where the PL1 area starts, and you can delete all those program definitions out. Same with C. And I don't have a list of what LE absolutely needs, and I'm trying to think about the event handlers.
Well, it was just a thought, because a lot of our other sites, they use the program auto-install, and in fact, they're requesting that we do that as well. And I can see that it does cut down on the definitions tremendously. Personally, it doesn't bother me that much, but like I say, other people are interested in it, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the thought of someone would think about that, or maybe that could get published sometime. I realize then that becomes another problem, because now you add another entry, so you have to put in maintenance. Okay, you've got to remember to add this entry. Whereas if you just put in the whole group, you don't have to worry about it. But
or if you buy another product to run with Kix.
Right. Anyway, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Paul, for presenting today.